What a marvelous thing it is to have a God that we trust and can rely on, and a Son of God who came to this earth and died so that we could live, and we trust Him. We trust Him with our lives and with eternal life. And it's a great, wonderful, blessed feeling, truly, to have a God and a Savior that we can lean on and trust. Thank you for being here to honor the God that we love and trust. As part of our reading program this year at Eastside, one of the things we noted a couple of weeks ago was that some of our readings are focusing in the Psalms, and there is a lot of great information in the Psalms from a number of perspectives, obviously, things that help us understand more of Scripture, more about Jesus, more about man's relationship with God. Of course, that's true. Probably you could say that about most of, if not all of, the books of the Bible, but Psalms is especially rich in certain areas. And one of the things that we noticed in a lesson a couple of weeks ago was that the Psalms talk a lot about the Messiah, and we learn a lot about Christ from the Psalms themselves as they prefigure Him and prophesy about Him and describe His kingship and so many other aspects of who the Messiah is. But the Psalms also have a lot to say about trust. The word trust, or some form of it, is found 184 times in the entire Bible, but 69 of those times are in the Psalms. The Psalms talk a lot about trust, much more than any other book of the Bible. So the concept of trusting God, it's not just that the word is there so many times, the word trust is there, it's that the concept of trusting God is there really throughout the Psalms. And the psalmist will talk about, well, God has blessed me in this way and that way and done this for me and that for me, so I trust Him. But also he talks about how, you know, my life is in the pits, I'm in trouble, people are persecuting me, people are hurting me, I'm sick, I'm sorrowful. What's God doing with my life? I don't understand it, I don't know, but I trust Him. And in every turn of life, as we look at the Psalms, and really what goes through them almost throughout every psalm is this implication of trust in God. This undercurrent of all that the psalmist is saying goes back to, I really trust God. I really trust Him. And it's a beautiful and inspirational, spiritually inspirational book for that reason. We could say a lot about the structure of the Psalms, the way they're laid out, the books of the Psalms, the poetry of the Psalms and how it's organized. I'm not going to do any of that tonight. I just want to look at what the Psalms teach us about the fundamentals of trusting God, just some very basic things, very simple things that we see in the Psalms about trusting God. Who do we trust? What is trust? Why do we trust Him? When should we trust Him? And how do we trust Him? In whom do we trust? Somebody says, well, all I have to do is look at my money. It says, in God we trust, right? Everybody knows that. But that's what the Psalms say. Psalms say it over and over and over, and I've given just a couple of quick references there. Psalm 4 and verse 5 says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. And it advocates that over and over and over again as you go through the Psalms. In Psalm 2, a messianic psalm about the coming king, really. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish in the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in Him. To be blessed is to put your trust in God. So the Lord is our trust. This great God who created us, we are, as the psalmist will say, His people. He is our shepherd, and we are the sheep of His pasture, and He's caring for us in so many ways. Put your trust in Him. There is a question then that should come to our minds when we think about this duty, privilege, really, that we have to trust God, and that is, in whom or what should we not trust? If I am to trust God, then what does that say about other people or things that I might trust? The Bible doesn't teach us not to trust anybody. Bible teaches that children trust their parents. In fact, we learn to trust God by trusting our parents. The Psalms teach us that. But ultimately, God is the one in whom our trust needs to reside. And it should not reside in things like riches and wickedness. A lot of people in this world today put their trust in those kinds of things. The psalmist answers that. Psalm 52, verses 7 and 8. Talking about a man whom God would destroy or had destroyed. Here is the man, the psalmist says, who did not make God his strength, but he trusted in the abundance of his riches, strengthened himself in his wickedness. Psalmist goes on to say, but I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. So the psalmist is trusting in God, and the wealthy man and the powerful man and the man who was gaining greatness in life through wicked deeds and through lying and perversion and whatever else, that man would come to nothing and be destroyed by God. The man that trusted in his riches, those riches would fly away and leave him desolate. The man who trusts in oppression, who believes that he can make it in this world and rely on the fact that he can always put somebody down if he needs to get ahead. If he needs to get ahead in this world, all he has to do is put his thumb down on somebody. And by oppressing others, he advances in this world. In Psalm 62 and verse 10, do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery, because you can take it from somebody and make it yours. A lot of people feel secure in the fact, well, if I can't make it, I can take it from somebody else. And there are a lot of people who live in this world like that. They trust in oppression. They vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, the psalmist says, do not set your heart on them. They're not trustworthy. The Bible says that throughout. There are those who trust in military might and carnal weapons. I think we're seeing an example of that in halfway around the world in a war that's going on right now. David wrote Psalm 20. And one of the things he says there, and this is repeated in more or less in other psalms as well, but he says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now, I want you to notice that David was a man of war. We remember that, right? He had many military victories. Starting with Goliath, right? He took Goliath down with a rock, a stone that he picked up out of a brook. Takes Goliath down. He understands that the Lord has given him the victory. In Psalm 146, verses 3 through 4, I'm sorry, Psalm 44, verse 6 is where I'm going. Psalm 44 and verse 6, the psalmist says, I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me. Wasn't his bow or his sword that saved him when he went against Goliath? He took Goliath's own sword, cut Goliath's head off. What am I saying? What I am saying is this. As a Christian, I don't intend to go to war. As a Christian, I don't intend to shoot anybody, and I'm not going to shoot anybody, no matter what. So there's some here in this audience that disagree with me about both of those things. My daddy went to war. But I hear something we can all agree on. David was a man of war. He went to war a lot. But he knew better than to trust his weapons. And we better know better than that too. It doesn't matter how many guns you have in your house, whether or not you can conceal carry or not, how big the U.S. arsenal is of nuclear weapons, or whether we have a laser beam that can shoot everything down or not. I want to tell you, folks, you better trust in God and not in your weapons. Trust in God. David understood that. We need to understand it too. our security. I had one of the finest lessons I heard on this was a number of years ago. Katie and I were driving in the car. We had the radio on, and this preacher came on, and he happened to be, and this is, I hope this doesn't come across as prejudice, it probably will, but he happened to be a black preacher of the old school of black preachers, you might say, but he was laying it on about trusting God. And he talked about his house being broken into. His house had been broken into. They got home, it was broken into. They went through the house. The robber had gone. Stuff was taken. Stuff was broken up. His wife and he went through the house. They had an alarm system and everything. You know, they had all the protection they thought they needed. But the robber came through, and he said he and his wife went through. They went through the house, and they came back, met back at the entryway, and they looked at each other and said, God protected us. We're sure glad of our security system. And his point was, his security system was God. They had an alarm system, but his real security system was God. We understand that? If you want to trust for security, trust in God. We don't need to be trusting in political or national leaders either. Psalmists make that abundantly clear in a couple of passages. Now Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And then Psalm 146 and verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth, and that very day his plans perish. World leaders, no matter how altruistic, noble they may be or seem, no matter how great their plans may be or not be, no matter how competent they are or not, are not to be trusted above God. They're not to be trusted above God. You know, world leaders, they have all these great plans, they work everything out. Most of the biggest wars that have ever occurred have occurred between nations where there was a peace treaty between them. I don't know if you ever thought about that. So here's what the great princes and leaders and kings and presidents have all worked out, these peace treaties, and it's all going to keep us all safe for the time to come, and then there's a world war that breaks out. World leaders, they're not in charge of the peace. Really, they're not in charge of what happens between kingdoms. We pray that God will take care of them and lead us into peace. But ultimately, we know that God is in charge. Don't trust in princes. Trust the Lord. Why trust the Lord? Well, because He is strong and He's stable and He provides loving protection. He is a shield to us. We come under the shelter of His wings. He is our rock. These concepts and metaphors are used over and over and over again in the Psalms. I'm going to reference just a few times when they're used. But in each case, the psalmist is telling us to trust God. Psalm 18 and verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Throwing metaphor on top of metaphor there. He's like that rock that you can stand on that's not shaking. That's solid ground and you can stand there. He's the fortress that you can go to and none can assail you, for you are in Him. He is your strength. Therefore, you trust Him. He gives you the power to do what He wants you to do. He is the horn, the sign of your power, the horn of your salvation. All of that is said in that psalm. In Psalm 125 and verse 1, which is a psalm of ascents, probably as the Jews would ascend to Jerusalem on the feast days, they would sing these songs of ascents. And the first verse of Psalm 125, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. And so the Israelites, as they walked up to where the temple would be, and they sang this song, and they would look over at Mount Zion and they would see it's still standing. It's still standing. It's still there. And you go there today and it's still there. Zion, physical Zion, has stood for a long time. spiritual Zion stands forever. It's that kingdom that we talked about last week, which will not be shaken. It's there, and it abides forever. In Psalm 91 in verses 1 and 2, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall hide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. And then, notably in Psalm 36 and verse 7, please look at this with me if you have your Bibles, especially now, and you're trying to follow along. Psalm 36 and verse 7. The New King James Version here says, How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. The ESV says, How precious is your steadfast love. You might notice that the ESV typically translates the Hebrew word hesed as steadfast love. The New King James says loving kindness. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. That to me is a beautiful picture. We read it once already. It's repeated in the Psalms numbers of times where it's the picture of a bird. You can picture an eagle. You can picture a chicken. You can picture a robin. They all have the same thing, the same behavior, that when their chicks are threatened by rain or a hailstorm or another bird or another animal, those chicks can run under the mama's wings for protection. And if you've ever lived on a farm and seen chickens, when danger comes and all the little chicks run up under the big hen's wings, it's a picture of loving protection. So whenever there's danger, whenever we're afraid, whenever God lovingly spreads His wings over us to protect us, we can trust Him. Like the baby bird trusts her mama, we can trust the Lord. In Psalm 9 and verse 10, those who know your name will put their trust in you. Continually, we have these expressions. We can trust in the Lord for mercy, and we need it. We need help that's undeserved. We pray for not to be given the punishment that we do deserve. And that's what mercy is all about. Psalm 57 and verse 1, Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. Here's why he's putting his trust in God for God's mercy. And again he says, And in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed. Bad things happen in the world. Bad things can happen to good people sometimes. They happen to bad people a lot. But we trust in God to protect us and care for us while the calamities are occurring. Psalm 32 and verse 10, Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Mercy shall surround the one who trusts it. So we go to God for mercy and we trust Him to give us mercy. He's a merciful God. As he described himself to Moses, you might remember, Moses wanted to see God. God said, can't really see me. He hit him in the cleft of a rock and he said, You can see sort of the backside of me. You can see a little bit of me. And he proclaimed to Moses who he was, a God of mercy and loving kindness. Steadfast love. That's our God. We trust in the Lord to know how to walk. In Psalm 143 and verse 8, Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you I do trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Jeremiah had said in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, That it is not in man that walks to direct his steps. And I frankly, the older I get, the more I know, the more I know that I don't know. The more I think I know the direction my life should take and the direction I want to go, the more I realize only God can show me that. And to rely on Him, to trust Him with the pathway of your life. And if His Word says to go this way, then that's the way you take. That's the way you take because you trust Him. You ever been lost? Lost in your vehicle on a wrong road? Lost in the woods? Maybe you come up on somebody and you ask, I don't know where I am, what's the right way? And they tell you and you have to decide whether to trust them or not. I remember one time my dad and I were traveling in the mountains of Colorado, and we'd been driving for some time. We were trying to get to Lake City, Colorado, way up in the mountains, and kind of got off track a little bit. And we pulled up to this farm and asked the farmer, we're standing out there, said, hey, buddy, you know, how do you get to Lake City from here? And he said, well, if you just take this road, you go about 30 minutes, you'll be right there. So we took the road. We drove about 30 minutes. We weren't anywhere. We found another farmer and said, hey, how do you get to Lake City? And he said, well, if you take this other road, in about 30 minutes, you'll be there. Do we trust him or don't we? I'm glad God is trustworthy in giving directions. It's not in man that walks to direct his own steps. It's in God. And we need to trust him. How do I demonstrate my trust in the Lord? How do I show that I trust him? Well, I praise him. I do that with song. I do that by telling his story, by telling others who he is, by talking about how trustworthy he is. And the Psalms over and over again get to this point. Psalm 73 and verse 28, it's good to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. We trust him and we demonstrate that by declaring his works, by talking about what he's done for us and what he could do for others. The 71st Psalm really is laced with this, as several other psalms are. I just want to point out a few verses in Psalm 71. The psalmist in verse 5 says, you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. For by you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. So what the psalmist is saying, I trust you, and I've trusted you from day one, and I've learned to trust you all my life, looking back to the day I was born. And so as a consequence of that, I'm going to show my trust by praising you for being with me all this time. In verse 15, my mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all day long, for I do not know their limits. I have not discovered a place or a way in life that I cannot trust God. Every place, every occurrence in my life, I found that if I try to trust God, I can trust God. That he is always there, he is always trustworthy. And that's what the psalmist is saying. I tell your salvation all the day, I don't know their limits. I don't know the limits of what you're doing for me, of how much I can trust you, because I can't go that far. In my mind, in verse 17, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Continuing to trust God from youth to old age, because one has found him trustworthy, and to praise him for that. We demonstrate our trust in God by praying to him. Jesus wondered one time whether or not, when he came, if he'd really find faith on the earth, faith where men would be praying. If we trust God, we pray. Lack of prayer in a person's spiritual life is an indication of lack of trust in God. Again, the Psalms are just replete with connections between trusting God and praying to him. It's the most obvious connection. Psalm 61, verse 1, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. I will trust in you. Notice he started that by saying, I'm praying, and the reason I'm praying is I'm trusting. Whatever's happening, I can talk to God about that. Psalm 37, verses 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. This touches a little bit on the next point I'm going to make, which is we demonstrate our trust in God by doing what He says. And this passage indicates that somewhat. But also, we demonstrate our trust in Him by praying to Him. He will give us the desires of our hearts when we're doing what He says and trusting Him. Psalm 84, verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in You." Again, you have that. Here's a man who's walking uprightly, but also here's a man who's praying. And he's trusting God, and God will not withhold any good thing from that person who prays in that way and lives that way. And in Psalm 86, verses 6 and 7, "Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon You, for You will answer me." It's easy to talk about trust when we're not in trouble. It's easy to forget to pray when we're not in trouble. On the other hand, it's easy to remember to pray when we are in trouble, but it's harder to trust, isn't it? When things look so bad and so bleak, we don't think there can possibly be a way out. There can be no relief from this. Nothing good could come of it. We turn to God and we say, "Oh Lord God, if You can only do something," when He's been doing everything all along, when He can do anything, anything that can be done, He can do it. His power is exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. When you are down to nothing, be sure of this: God is up to something. And He will hear your prayer if you trust Him and do right. And that brings us to the third way that we demonstrate trust. We demonstrate trust by following His Word. The song in our books we sing sometimes, "All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside?" Just following the Savior wherever He leads. One of the things that thrills me about that song when I sing it, it's written by Fanny Crosby, who many of you know was blind. And I just picture her writing the lyrics to that song, "All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside?" I wonder if she hadn't been led by the hand at times by people who ran her into walls, you know, when she was blind and caused her to trip over rocks and all sorts of different things during her lifetime. But she knew this, that if she would trust God and do what He said, He'd lead her in the right way. He'd lead her to safety. I want you to listen to Psalm 18 and verse 30. "As for God, His way is perfect. The way of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust Him." That word "proven" is a critical word. It means tried and tested. The way of the Lord, you've taken it because you've trusted Him. It hasn't always been the way you thought you should go, the way that made sense to you, what everybody was telling you to do, but it was the way God said to go. The way of the Lord is perfect, and the way of the Lord is proven. And it's only those who trust Him who can know that, because they've taken it. They've taken His way over and over again, even when it seemed to the world like it was not the thing to do. Psalm 112 and verse 5 says that a good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Trust in God is like jumping out of a burning building into our Father's arms only because He said jump. May not make sense to anybody else. May not be the choice anybody else makes. But we trust God. And He said jump. And so we do. When should you trust the Lord? Well, you should trust Him at all times. When things are good, when things are bad, when there's tragedy, when there's joy, when blessings abound. You should trust Him at all times. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Trust God at all times. Trust God particularly when we are afraid. I think over the last couple of years, we've all experienced maybe some anxieties that we didn't know before. We hadn't experienced before. I don't know about you, but until about 2 years ago, I never thought about the possibility of dying in a global pandemic. But it's happened to lots of folks. And although I thought about it a lot when I was a little kid and we were going through, you know, the air raid drills and all that sort of stuff, I hadn't thought about, you know, perishing in a nuclear war in quite a while. That seems to be on the table again, doesn't it? Whatever brings fear to our hearts, whether it's nuclear annihilation or losing your next ball game, whatever it is, if it's enough to concern you, it's enough to concern God. I'm not saying you should pray to win your ball game, but trust Him. Trust Him for the best. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in You. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All of the sum of all the fears that humanity experiences are not bigger than God. He is bigger than the sum of all of our fears. And I'm thankful that that's true. And lastly tonight, and I appreciate your good attention as we thought about trust in the Psalms, I'd like you to turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 32. Let's trust Him when we need forgiveness. Maybe I should back up and say we need to realize that we need forgiveness. We need forgiveness. And let's trust Him for that. Blessed is he whose transgression is covered, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. You ever just been miserable in your sins, just miserable with yourself, almost maybe literally sick because you're caught up in sin? David experienced that. He says in verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And down in verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Mercy shall surround him. God wants to forgive. He's a merciful God. He wants to forgive you tonight if you need it, and you may. All of us have sinned and fall short of His glory. Maybe that there's someone here tonight with still a sin stain on their soul. God wants to forgive you of that. He wants you to confess it. If you're a Christian, He wants you to confess it and pray about it. If you need to confess it before this group so we can pray with you and for you, we'll be happy to do that. If you're not a Christian, you've never named the name of Jesus, you've never said that you believe Him to be the Son of God, you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, turning away from your life of sin, you've never done that, do that tonight. Trust God. You may say, well, I don't understand how all of that works. Trust God and give your life to Him. We'd ask you to come while we stand and sing.